Welcome to Let the Quran Speak. I'm Aisha, your outgoing host, as I'll be going on maternity leave for a few months. I'm excited to reintroduce our returning host, Safiya Ali. Welcome back to the show, Safiya.
Thank you, Aisha.
So I just want to catch up on, the last 5 years. You've obviously done a lot. So the last segment that we had with you, you were going to Egypt at the time. So tell me, what was that like moving from Toronto to Egypt?
Well, living in Egypt is a grand adventure, so long as everything's going fine. You're not sick, you haven't lost your job, you don't get into an accident or nothing, anything, you get a divorce, anything bad happens, you're fine living in Egypt. But if you hit one of those circumstances, then you're better off back in Canada.
Of course.
So, but having said that, I really did enjoy my experience there, and I learned an awful lot about myself, about the world. And I feel like living in Egypt really transformed my worldview and made me think in a different way than I would have if I had just stayed in Canada.
Was there, what were some of the experiences like in terms of, you're talking about it sort of changed your worldview?
For example, just getting to know a different situation, environment in which you're not familiar with the culture, you're not familiar with the language, culture more so. It was such a challenge just to leave the house without my husband in the beginning. Just to go to the store and see all the different brands and not really be sure which one is the one that you need. Or for example, if my son was sick and then you go to the doctor and then you find out, you're not sure, the doctor gives you a prescription, but you're not entirely sure the doctor understood what was wrong with your son. So those are the challenges that you experience in a new country. That you wouldn't have thought of if you were just stuck in Canada.
And were a lot of people, they didn't speak much English? English obviously is the primary language, but was that common, that a lot of people didn't speak English?
Yeah, but the thing is, that experience really made me think about the people who are coming to Canada and not really having a choice. I mean, I came to Egypt and it was my choice to come to Egypt, and I was privileged. I was seen as someone who's privileged, and coming from the West, I had a pretty high status in Egypt. Yeah. But for someone, if you think about, for example, someone from Egypt coming to Canada, it's not the same. And then you think about them with maybe the language barrier and also the cultural barrier, trying to access services and having all those difficulties. So that exposed me to the people, the immigrants, and what they might be experiencing.
And
so
I guess it's different when you always, we talk about immigrants and their experience, but I guess it was completely on the other side where now you're living the reality.
Now I understand. So now I'm thinking, okay, people are using the TDC or the public transit.
Yeah.
They must be really nervous in the beginning just to get on that train or bus.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known that before. So that was one, that's just one little example.
Do you miss it? Or are you glad to be back?
I miss certain aspects of it. I loved living in Egypt. It was really fun and interesting, and I met many new people, and there's so much history there. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, being near family and friends is invaluable. There's nothing that can replace that. So we missed our family. My son really missed his grandma and his grandpa and his cousin. So we realized we had to come back. And it's a challenge when you're in a country like that to make friends. And to make the right kinds of friends.
And especially when you have a young child too growing up, right? Like finding the right social support system.
Exactly,
and that kind of
thing.
Now, I know you also, during this time, you also finished your PhD. So tell us a little bit about, I guess, what your PhD is about, because I don't think we've ever talked about that.
No. My PhD is on freedom of conscience and religion in the Charter.
Okay.
So I looked at the way that conscience has been understood and the way the religion has been understood in the Western tradition. I found that conscience in the law has been largely ignored, but religion, of course, is protected.
Yeah.
The way that religion is protected marginalizes certain groups and certain ways of practicing religion while prioritizing others. So I wanted to find a theoretical basis for protecting those marginalized communities and practices. So that was the work of my PhD.
And is that, I guess maybe that's a nice segue, is that what brought you back to the TV show?
Well, it's interesting because as soon as I finished defending my PhD, I was approached by the team at Let the Quran Speak, and they said, well, Aisha's pregnant. She's going to be on maternity leave. Can you do this for us since you're back in Toronto? And I thought about it a little bit, and in the beginning I was a bit hesitant.
Why were you hesitant?
Well, I had left the show, and I felt like maybe I shouldn't come back. I should move on to something else. But then I thought, when I was doing my PhD, towards the end, I started thinking that I can no longer sit in a room on my own,
yeah,
typing away, researching, reading, just doing things on my own. I need to get out there and be with other people, because that's what I've always been involved in community service, volunteer work to a great extent. And then when I started doing my PhD, much of that I had to leave aside. So now I thought, well, there are three things that I want to do. One is I want to work with other people. And second, I want to engage my brain and do research and writing and speaking. But third, I want to also work with the Muslim community and work on behalf of the Muslim community. And this TV show seems to hit all of those things, right? So I thought, sure, why not?
Did you also, I wanted to do a PhD at some point in my life, but I decided against it because I felt like, you're doing your research, similar to what you said, you're isolated, and then it's like, what do you do with that? So do you feel like you'll bring elements of that into the TV show, like in terms of, you know, as opposed to a lot of people you hear when they do their PhD, they're done. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like your thesis or your...
I mean, it's possible because my work directly looks at conscience and religion, which is, pertinent to the Muslim community.
Yeah.
But I feel like the skills that I gained, you know, the research skills, the thinking skills, the speaking skills, mm-hmm. The reading skills, I think that can come to play mm-hmm. In terms of the TV show work and other work that
definitely.
I do as well.
Now, I want to ask a little bit of a digression, but when it comes to representation, within the media of Muslim women, it's changing. Do you think that's important, even from your own perspective?
Oh, definitely, of course. people have these perceptions of Muslim women. The West has this perception of Muslim women that isn't always accurate. But at the same time, it's really challenging. At least when I began in the early 2000s hosting this TV show, there was so much criticism, and it was really unexpected. So people would comment on my appearance, the way I was sitting, the way I smiled at guests or looked at male guests, which was completely, off the bat, because I felt that I was I'm a pretty modest person, and I couldn't understand where it was coming from. And the criticisms that people made often were about, as I said, appearance and about your moral decency, which I don't think a male would get. They don't get those sort of criticisms. I think things have changed now, so people are much more, people are not obsessed with modesty and how a woman looks to the same extent as it was in the early 2000s. But I think we're always aware that there are people out there who are going to make judgments about us. I at a certain point, I had to say, I'm not going to listen to what anybody tells me. You know, at one point I was doing an interview with somebody, and at the end of the interview, he got up and went to my dad and told my dad that I was dressed inappropriately and that he should have somebody, or he should make me dress in an appropriate way because I'm representing Islam. So that was really strange.
After the interview segment?
After the entire interview, he went to find my dad. So that
oh,
was...
Oh, gosh.
So at that point, I realized that I don't care what anybody says. I'm just going to do my thing. Because when you're on the show, if you're not authentic, if you're always trying to please people, and that happened to me in the beginning, I became very stiff and very worried about what other people would say, and it really does stifle you.
It
stifles you.
Yeah.
You don't know how to sit.
Yeah.
You don't know how to smile. Yeah?
It's been a struggle. I mean, I think I don't, like, thankfully I haven't had that experience.
Okay,
but
that's great, because I think you came on later when, I think the pendulum has shifted, swung a little bit in the other
I came on about,
side.
I guess, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So, but our former executive producer had told me, and another member of the team at the time, they're like, never read the YouTube comments.
Yes.
So the thing with me is when people tell me not to do it, I'll definitely do it at least once. So I remember going online and seeing some of the comments. And unfortunately, there are comments that are still... there, and I still get criticism from people saying, is it really appropriate for you to be sitting in front of another male and interviewing them and all of that stuff? So I think unfortunately that's still there, but I think that's definitely changing. In the US they have the first female Muslim anchor, we have Janela Massa at CBTV.
Yes.
So unfortunately I think those struggles are still there because you still read about it, right? But how do you overcome that? I think that's something that unfortunately we'll have to deal with and face. Outside of that, what are you hoping to, based on your experiences, having been to Egypt, your PhD is done now, where are you hoping, and even as a mother now, where are you hoping to take the TV show?
Well, I'm just starting. I'm really rusty, I have to say.
I don't think so.
But so I'm going to take some time to learn and to, see what you've been doing and follow through with that. I just want to, do what I can to make the show better, and that's all I want to do at this point. I don't have any real plans.
Do you have any thoughts in terms of like, you know, do you want to like focus on a particular area or just kind of just expand and sort of see where things go?
Well, I mean, it would be interesting to interview people relating to sort of more research-oriented things,
yeah,
or books that people have written. I mean, I like speaking to other academics, so that might be interesting. I'm not sure how interesting it would be to the audience, but it would definitely be really interesting for me. So we'll see.
I think that kind of topic would also be interesting, because what I found, especially our book reviews with Dr. Shabir, those are one of our most watched segments in comparison to some of the other ones as well. Obviously, the other ones are well watched as well, but I think people appreciate when you take something that's academic or that's difficult and sort of just humanize it a bit and mm-hmm. have, you know, sort of a good conversation.
What about you? What are your plans?
Well, my plan is to go on leave and hopefully give birth and be okay and sort of, you know, try to handle that. Do you have any advice?
No, I don't. I think once your child comes, you will figure things out. I mean, when I had my son Adam, I read so many books in advance and I asked so many people for advice.
Yeah.
But when he came, I realized books can only help so much.
Yeah.
A lot of it comes with experience, and a lot of it comes with kind of letting go of control.
Yeah.
And feeling and just accepting that you're going through a struggle right now, and it will pass. That's what I found.
I think I've seen a lot of articles too about like postpartum depression and all of those things. So there's a bit of anxiety around there, but I think you're right. It's just one of those things where you just
Wait till it comes.
Right? No, don't preempt.
Don't overthink it.
Well, I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much, Aisha, for you know, all the wonderful work that you've done.
It's been an honor.
I've been admiring you from afar.
Oh, have you really? Thanks.
Yes.
I've always admired
and watching your shows.
Well, I really appreciate it.
And I'm excited that you'll be back as well.
So, yes, I hope to come back eventually. But until then, all the best. And thank you so much.
Thank you. I'll need your prayers and your advice.
Likewise.
Hey YouTube, we hope you benefited from this video. If you liked it, or if you didn't, let us know in the comments below. And if you're interested in learning more, check out some of our other videos. And don't forget to subscribe so you can get new videos every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.